Of all the travel shows on TV, among my favorites are the ones hosted by Samantha Brown. For a dozen years now, Samantha's been finding fun all around the world and sharing it with all of us. Starting with Passport to China, her series have covered destinations in Asia, Latin America, and Europe. And she's been highlighting domestic getaways in her Great Weekend series, too. Samantha Brown joins us today to tell us how she makes sharing the highlights of the world into her job and to fill us in on her latest adventures. Samantha, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
You know, I just love watching your show. You go to all these great places, but there's something you inject, can I say, a perkiness?
Sure, I don't find that word offensive at all. I think that hits it on the nose, yes.
And it just makes you want to jump up and get on a plane and go hug some person from a country far away.
I make the world huggable. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay,
and
good.
Does that come naturally? Is that how you are in everyday life?
Absolutely. And, you know, when I started the job, I had zero travel experience, just zero. And starting a job, well, it's a dream job, and I knew that from the beginning, but also to now have a job where you're showing people the world and yet you don't have that experience yourself, I found that instead of trying to be, may I say you, because I've obviously admired your work, I wasn't Rick Steves, I wasn't Lonely Planet, I wasn't Rudy Maxa, so I knew that I had to be something else, and something else was just myself, and I was discovering the world for the first time. So at the time we did Passport to Europe, which was, gosh, I don't know, 8, 9 years ago, and instead of projecting being an expert or that, hey, I know what I'm doing, I instead thought, well, let's invite people to join me on my discovery as I was seeing the world for the first time. And as you know, it's very wide-eyed and bushy-tailed when you get to not only travel, but also that it's your job. So it came very naturally.
I'm sure the people at the Travel Channel recognize that we're going there and experiencing it for our first time with Samantha. I remember talking to you earlier, and I was struck by the fact that you're really a television host first, and then you found this gig as a traveler. Do you remember when it hit you that, oh, this travel is actually a lot of fun?
Yeah, this travel is actually better than being in television in general. Yeah, because my background is acting.
Was it right away? Was it?
It was probably 3 years into it. And I will say that even after Europe, it was really Latin America, Rick, that I caught what people call the travel bug, that I realized what my passion was. Because I found being in Europe, you have such an intense itinerary of all these things we were brought up loving and admiring through books, literature, paintings, you know, the Louvre, the Colosseum, the Eiffel Tower. And therefore, there's a lot of pressure just to be in the past in Europe, I found.
Right.
Maybe not pressure, but just, you know, must-dos are always the museums and the monuments and castles. And it wasn't until...
Right, the obligatory stuff.
Yeah, right. And of course, you have to see these things. You have to. But when I got to Latin America, you know, they don't have that infrastructure that Europe has. They don't have all the pomp and circumstance. And then so it enabled me to relax and spend more time just being in the moment with the people themselves. Instead of understanding what, you know, the European culture was like and how it's been there since, you know, the Greeks and the Romans, you're there in the moment, in the present. And I just found that electrifying. So that's when I thought this for me is what travel is about.
And that's two sides of a coin. You can go to the Parthenon and understand, you know, the story of ancient Greece, and you can go to Wittenberg and understand about the Reformation. Or you can go to a market in Guatemala and just laugh with the people that you're meeting.
Absolutely, and get a bowl of their chicken soup and sit beside them and have absolutely no idea what they're saying, but their expressions are exactly how our expressions are, and you can communicate without words between you. And it's a different approach, and I think the balance of the two is what ultimately what people should be going for in their travels.
You know, I find, Sam, when I'm traveling, and my beat is Europe, so I spend most of my travel time there, but I oftentimes just find myself thinking, life is good. Life is good. As a matter of fact, just spontaneously on my last show in Venice, I closed it not with, you know, keep on traveling, but I closed it with, life is good. Be thankful.
Yeah.
And I think
yeah.
a lot of people who don't get out don't recognize it. If you just sit at home and watch the TV news, you think life is not that good. But you can be on a ridge in the Andes or in a market in Guatemala or something like that and really celebrate life. Take me to one moment in Latin America where you just got giddy about life.
I was in Peru, and we were about 2 days away from going to Machu Picchu. And we had a day off, and we were in Cusco,
What is it? It's like 10 or 12,000 feet up there, isn't it? I mean, it's amazing.
Yes, yes, exactly. So I was in Cusco, Peru, and I set out for a nice hike because it's just a beautiful area. And I was just going to take this road up and go. And as I was hiking, an older gentleman joined me. We were both sort of, you know, walking, and he was spoke Spanish. I don't know if he was Peruvian or not, but, you know, he started talking to me. Oh, lo siento, no español, or un poco, solamente un poco. And so we had this really great conversation. His name was, you know, mi nombre es Armand. His name was Armand. I'm like, and we had this whole conversation about not only that the Twin Towers coming down, we had conversations about why I was here, about Machu Picchu, and it just completely involved gestures and my little Spanish and his gestures and his very little English. And we had this wonderful just experience together. And at the very end, I said, you know, ¿cómo tu nombre? And he said, you know, mi nombre es Herman. And I said, mi nombre es Samantha. And he just stopped and he looked at me and he said, tu nombre es Samantha? I said, yes, sí, sí. And he grabs his little nose, or he points to it and wiggles it and goes, magic. Anyone who watched Bewitched growing up, Samantha is the witch. And when I first had the name Samantha, well, I've always had the name Samantha, but in my early years, up until about 10, that's all anyone would say to me. Oh, can you wiggle your nose and make things happen? And of course, I loved Bewitched. So I hadn't heard that in some 25 years. And so for him to
there
do
you are,
that,
in some
I just,
remote village
yeah,
in Peru
exactly.
in the mountains, 10,000 feet. Oh, magic,
right.
Samantha.
Magic, exactly. And we just had this great laugh.
Those are the moments, aren't they? And
yeah.
If you don't get out of your hotel and away from the tour group, you know, you're not that approachable when you're with a tour group. And if you do meet a local,
right?
They're just trying to make money off you. But if you venture away on your day off, that's when it happens.
And I always say, you know, I in a way, I don't travel alone because I'm with a shooting crew. But on my days off and when we're done shooting, I'm absolutely alone.
Yeah.
And I like being alone. And, you know, women are always asking me at the travel shows that you and I both go to a lot, you know, how do you feel about a woman traveling alone? And would you feel this is safe? I say, absolutely. In fact, I mean, I've been in cities that people look out for you. They really do. And you can feel it. And especially if you're a female alone, when you don't have a partner in crime, like either your spouse or your best friend, you have to be open to other people. And so it allows people to approach you and allows you to be approachable to them. So I always recommend traveling alone.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're speaking with Samantha Brown. Samantha, we were talking about your crew. Have you ever done anything or do you have any sort of tendencies that try the patience of your director?
Let's see.
In what way are you a high maintenance host?
Oh, yeah, you want the dirt on me, is that it?
I want
it?
The
is
dirt on you, yeah.
I get hungry and I get testy at 4 p.m., but everybody who works with me knows this, and I'll get these emails saying, Samantha needs energy bars and a cappuccino at 3:30 p.m., and if I don't have that, you know, I break down. So that's where if I'm hungry and tired, you know, that's when you see a lot of testiness.
I'm the same way. I steal a sandwich from breakfast and I just put it in a Ziploc baggie because we're out. You know, when the sun's good and you're out there in the streets doing your show, you can't stop the whole crew. But I just need something mid-morning or I can't smile on camera.
I agree. You get really low energy. And of course, you throw in heat.
Oh, yeah.
And there, oh, it just drains you.
And if the host is not happy, the show will suffer.
That's right. We have a lot of power,
keep
don't
Rick
we?
Rick happy. And how are you involved in your production beyond hosting, or are you?
Oh, absolutely. Definitely in Passport to Europe and Latin America, I was heavily involved in the writing of the show.
Uh-huh.
And that was because, you know, they would be writing things for me, VO mainly.
Voiceover, that's what you would tape later, yeah.
Voiceover, and it just wasn't in my voice.
And right.
So for Passport to Europe, everything I said on camera as well, I wrote. And how I would do that is, you know, I'd never been to the Colosseum, but I would research the Colosseum and I would find, you know, 3-4 different points that I thought for me were just fascinating about it.
Mm-hmm.
So when we were there on the ground, I could kind of turn to which point I wanted to talk about instead of, you know, figuring out what I'm going to say. Great hotels and great vacation homes was completely improvised, you know, improvisational. But
right.
I find you can't improv on history. You can't just make dates up, unfortunately.
Well, that'll haunt you.
And, you know, and I'm sure you feel the same way, when you finally get to these places that you've dreamed of going and you see them, you know, you're not eloquent at all. All you say is, wow, that's
right.
Awesome. You know, that's
and,
basically.
And when you get home, you realize what you could have shared while you were there with the crew.
Exactly.
And you kick yourself.
Right. So, you know, you're in Italy, you've got a permit, and that permit says you can shoot on sticks with a camera for an hour
right.
outside the Colosseum. After that, there's going to be three people telling you you have to leave. So you've got an hour. So in that hour, I can't be figuring out what I'm going to say.
Right.
I need to, you know, have that ready. But I also want to convey the emotion of being there. And, you know, I've seen some travel shows where they're not really travelers. It's just, I remember seeing one where the person just looked up and goes, wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like, I just need a little more from you. Yeah, I just want a little more.
So does that actually determine what you're going to stay on camera then as you choose your favorite three or whatever dimensions of that site to talk about? Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, so we'll get there and we'll, you know, me with the cameraman and the producer, we'll just kind of assess the situation because we haven't had time to pre-pro it. This is the first time there.
Right.
And we'll say, what should we go with? Okay, we're going to go with this. And we all kind of meet, and it's definitely an ensemble approach of, this is an amazing shot. The sun is perfect because it's pointing in this direction. If, Sam, you want to do this, just understand that it's right near the traffic and there's too much noise and we're going to be fighting and maybe we should cut that idea. So we cut that idea. And this is all done in literally 5-10 minutes.
Because you've got the clock ticking.
You've got the clock ticking.
So you go into the, let's say, the Colosseum then, Sam, and you know what three little factoids you want to share on camera.
Yeah, I'll have, you know, my scripts, as I call them, and it's just marked up with things that I just thought were fascinating.
That you want to say to the camera.
Yeah.
And then the other stuff will be written as voiceover that you'll tape later.
Yeah.
So you get there and you have to decide where you're going to shoot to cover those beautiful ideas.
Right. And a lot of times the voiceover is simply, the Colosseum is open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Yeah, and you don't need
if
to say
you
that
go
on
here,
camera.
You can get, you know, so it's a little more instructional.
Right.
So I try to make sure that what the emotion of being there, the enjoyment of being in a place, and the great information that gets you really, you know, juiced to be there is me on camera. And then all the logistics can be voiceover.
That works very well. Now that you say that, remembering watching your shows, I think that really is effective. I know you've got a background in theater and music. Does that impact your work?
The improvisation part, absolutely. And I think the performance part. You know, there are times when I'll watch my performance, as I call it, and I'm always looking at it saying, are you talking to a person sitting down? Or are you just talking to a camera and being kind of hosty, as we, you know, a presentery? So that there's a level of believability and authenticity that I feel is so important to watching and enjoying my show. And that's absolutely, you know, what I've learned from a background of being in the theater is being real, just being a real person. So.
You can probably employ that when you're interacting with locals. I remember my producer would say, they'd have this dreaded command, interact. And I was supposed to go into this crowd of people I didn't know and look like I'm having a good time, you know. Do you ever have that challenge? Okay, the light's right. There's people here. Interact.
Yeah, exactly. And you're just the new kid coming into the cafeteria for the first time and everyone's looking at you and you just feel like, oh, everyone thinks I'm a loser. You know, you've got this huge camera
with this big
on
camera.
You.
And do you use a boom mic also?
The boom mic. What we'll do, and it puts us kind of at risk, is because we used to do that a lot. And I said, let's just, because obviously when a camera's there, we try to keep it as contained as possible, but it does, you know, it does affect the the energy of a place.
Well, the boom mic does too. See, I don't even use a boom mic because you got this stick hanging overhead with a mic hanging from it, and it just, everybody freezes up. So we dispense with that. And once in a blue moon, we have to bring out those reflectors, you know, those big giant dishes that reflect the sun, and then forget any kind of casual on-camera here. Everybody's going to be trying to get in the camera. In Norway, they call it lens lice. People try to walk into your camera.
Oh, yeah, and you have to stop the shot. It's a lot of fun. If people realized, and that's what I love talking about you know, it's not easy to get some of the shots that you just think take no time. And they don't. And you spend a lot of time.
Well, the trick is to make it look like it takes no time, but it does.
Right.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're sharing notes with Samantha Brown. And Sam, how many days a year are you on the road when you're working at your peak on this?
On the peak, I was about 230.
230 days a year.
230 days.
And now I understand you've got a new part of your life you're embarking on. You've got, pregnant.
I am.
That's exciting.
I'm pregnant with twins
So. And I noticed on your website, you're actually letting people suggest names. Have you heard any names suggested that you might consider in the short list?
I thought people came up with really great names. And of course, they were very geographical and, you know, yeah. Ireland from Dublin, you know, you can name your kids anything these days.
Yeah.
And it was a great exercise. And it really opened my mind to, okay, we could go there. Although it might be a little cheesy for someone in the travel business to name their child Madrid and Barcelona, you know.
You got twins. Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
Nina and Pinta. Then you could wait for Santa Maria.
Two ships. That's right.
two ships.
I tell you, I feel like a ship right now.
Well,
I have a full cargo.
That is very exciting. Is this when you have the kids? What are you going to do with your TV hosting and so on?
Well, I certainly would love to continue. I do not want this to, I'm sure it will slow me down in travel. I mean, I was on my own and, you know, that just, I've got two kids and that's going to change a schedule a bit, but I certainly want them to travel with me and I will take all the advice I can get, Rick. I know you probably have traveled with, do you have one daughter?
I have two kids and they're in their 20s now and we took them to Europe every year throughout their whole life. Boy, if you can do that, it makes them comfortable with the rest of the planet and I just think it's one of the most beautiful things you can do. In fact, we took our kids out of school every May for 4 or 5 years of their schooling and the teachers, you know, supported that and we felt it was really stimulating for the kids and got them out of their comfort zone and really was an exciting kind of parenting. And maybe we'll look for a Samantha Brown and twins on the road
coming up.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Samantha Brown about to embark on a whole new kind of adventure. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. And Margo's on the line in Redmond, Oregon. Margo, thanks for your call.
Well, thanks, Rick. I really love your programs. And I also have loved Sam's programs for many years. And you've already answered one of my questions, which was whether Samantha is going to continue with her programs once her twins are born. But my question now goes back a bit. You were talking about traveling and meeting wonderful people and being a single woman and so forth. Just out of curiosity, did you happen to meet your partner during your travels?
I did not. I met him here in New York City, and he was just friend of a friend, so...
Well, that's great. I also had to let you know, you're talking about how exhausted you get in the late afternoon. Part of your programs, which I used to love, perhaps it was Great Hotels, was when you'd go back to your wonderful rooms, flop on the bed, and then perhaps an hour and a half later arrive downstairs for cocktails.
It was a good
that
life.
That must have been refreshing. Yeah, but I think you always managed to charm everybody, men, women, and so forth. And it's great to hear you're talking about this and also, Rick, how much work goes into being spontaneous and charming and informative. So I thank you both for those experiences.
You're welcome. Thanks, Margo. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
I got to say, Sam, I really enjoy connecting with you at travel shows and so on because we can empathize with how sometimes you're so determined to get across the fun of a moment or a travel experience. Mm-hmm. But when you have a camera there and you just don't have the complete control, it can be frustrating. And then you got to recreate the fun, and it's just hard to make it as magic as it really is. And I hope that our viewers can understand that if it looks like fun, it's actually even better.
I like that.
So, hey, Samantha, I'd like to just finish by asking you, if you could produce your own show once you get settled with the twins and everything and be in complete control of it, what would the show be and what would you name it?
I have an idea that I want to do so badly. I think with the twins, it has to wait maybe a year or so. But I want to do a show where I go on vacation with large groups of people, whether they are the, you know, the red hat ladies who wear the purple and the red hat ladies, to Harley Davidson drivers, to big family reunions. And I want to travel with them and do what they do and just spend time with them. And this is all based on a great New York Times article where the reporter embedded with the Amish, and they go down to Florida every year, the Amish.
Yeah.
And they put away their hats and they take out their cell phones and the girls wear bikinis. And all of a sudden, for 1 week, they're not Amish. They're not farmers. They're vacationers. And I found that fascinating. I had no idea. And I would love to discover how people vacation. You know, I could follow groups of the Chinese and the Brazilians coming to New York for the first time. What do they do? Because we get so many impressions from how we spend our time leisurely. And I love being with people. So it would, you know, two birds with one stone. I'd be able to travel and I'd be able to meet people and understand them more.
And you'd be the perfect host. I think that's a great idea.
Thank you.
I'm going to tune in. Samantha Brown, best wishes with your twins. Best wishes for your future travels. And thanks for all the travel fun you've brought so many of us.
Thank you, Rick.
Each year, Rick Steves tour guides take free-spirited travelers on escorted tours all over Europe, one small group at a time. This year, you can choose from 36 exciting itineraries, all designed to make Europe's rich history and great art come to life. For a free catalog and Rick's Tour Experience DVD, visit the tour pages at ricksteves.com.